Good morning.
Vietnam.
Actually, it's probably going to be evening when this comes out.
Vietnam. Not to mention it's evening as we record this. So
I don't know why I said that. Welcome to the May 2nd edition of the Laughing Place podcast. It's so good to be here with my buddies. My name today is Mickey Mouse. Joining me today over there is my wife, Minnie Mouse.
Hello.
To my left, Pluto.
Boop.
And across from me, the one and only Crazy Goofy.
We're just getting to this one?
Yeah, believe it or not.
The Golden Girls.
Well, I know, but the podcast has been around for quite a while, but I felt it was time we added some character to it.
Oh, that's true.
So if I'm painful. Pluto, does that make me the scurvy dog?
Scurvy dog.
You're scurvy, all right. So yeah.
How come I can talk, but you just arf?
So this is it's not fair.
The new and improved LPP with characters, but as you noticed, we did keep the theme song the same, and this is in the spirit
of Pocahontas.
Of Pocahontas. We're not going back there.
No, please, no.
That's one. You know, when I put up the press release now that I do of the podcast every week, I always have at the bottom, I put fanboy song list.
What were you guys singing in the restaurant yesterday? Do you remember?
I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to remember.
It was,
I Love L.A.?
No,
no,
that one with the
woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! No, not that one.
No, it was...
Dire Straits,
Woo-hoo!
Dire Straits song.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Whatever.
Yeah, so I had to hear that all through dinner.
You know the one.
I actually asked the table next to us if I could join them for dinner because I was so embarrassed. Didn't I?
And he was welcoming you over,
right,
actually.
Oh, that's right. You guys were singing
it's
that, too.
It's a beautiful night.
Oh, man, it was embarrassing.
And they call it Bella Nuova.
Dire Straits, The Walk of Life. Okay.
Yeah.
LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
I wonder how many people know where we were eating based on just the fact that we named two songs. We heard Bella Notte.
How many times do you show up at a restaurant and you hear people just belting out music?
We heard I Love L.A., and then you mentioned The Walk of Life, Dire Straits. I wonder how many people know where we ate.
Well, there you go. We'll think about it now, but I think later one of us might talk about it.
Yeah, we will.
See if you get it.
Yeah.
Silencio, fanboy.
See?
That was in honor of the three caballeros, which we won't be talking about today.
Oh, okay.
Podcast@laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Leave a message in the podcast section of the laughingplace.com discussion boards. On anything, really. It doesn't have to be related to anything we talked about.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Where's WWU? They've been gone for a while.
I don't know. I'm wondering that myself. Did you scare them off?
I hope not.
Me too. Maybe it's spring
break. The first time.
Definitely won't be the last. Let's get started this week. Last week, our major topic was Disney's Animal Kingdom's 10th birthday. Unfortunately, we recorded it one day before that birthday and hadn't actually been to the festivities.
So today's first topic will be Disney's Animal Kingdom's 10th birthday.
Hey,
guess what we're going to talk about next week? Probably Toy Story Mania. But
I think Disney's MGM Studios' 9th birthday, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that today?
Their 9th birthday?
19th birthday, that's what I said.
19th birthday.
I said 19.
Oh, okay.
In my head.
Wait, well, wouldn't it be MGM Studios?
Well,
what is it?
If you're born John Smith and you change your name to Jack LaLanne later on, it's still John Smith's birthday. No, not really.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. RuPaul and Madonna and...
That's their real name.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Prince. Well, he must have, 18 names, birthdays.
Madonna's a real name.
Madonna, I'm sure she is. It's not one word.
It's like Madonna Chicone or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like the banana?
How about we talk Disney?
That's Chiquita.
Oh.
How about we talk Disney?
That was a
Madonna's
great
Madonna's Disney. She was in Dick Tracy.
Do you like that movie?
No.
I like that movie. How about you, Rebecca?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, no. Not all the way through.
I like the McDonald's
promotion. I've seen bits and pieces.
I think it's an underrated movie.
I've seen video footage of the show.
Yeah.
Calling Dick Tracy, it's Law and Order time.
Calling for Mickey, we stole our very own song.
When was Dak's birthday? April 22nd?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, birthday this year.
We went. It was cool. Who wants to talk about Animal Kingdom's 10th birthday?
It was very nice. What they did was kind of a take on the usual safari beginning of the day, and they had... They had a vehicle come out before the rope drop there by the Tree of Life Garden, and it had Jane Goodall.
World-renowned conservationist.
And primatologist. And WDI, I want to say legend nowadays, because he just seems to have this aura, and like people follow him everywhere. It's amazing.
I think for people who pay attention to such things, mm-hmm. he's kind of like the Tony Baxter for now. What Tony was maybe 10 years ago in a lot of people's minds.
Like the fan base. Yeah, totally.
Not that Tony's gone or anything, but no. Joe Rohde's still so prominent.
Yeah. Joe Rohde is great at theming things.
Wrong.
Oh, wow.
Aaron Wallace.
Okay, thank you. I was gonna say, and I don't want to get it wrong because I mislabeled it in the captions and the photos for a few moments, and we fixed it. But
not like the. I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Please.
Jane talked about how she was there for opening day events and then just highlighted how exciting it was to return and the growth of the park. And she did her renowned chimpanzee vocalizations.
I believe it was...
That's pretty accurate, actually.
And Aaron Wallace unveiled the new logo for the Disney, which it was the Wildlife Conservation Fund, and now it's the Worldwide Conservation Fund. And then Joe Rohde just, pretty much talked about how great it was to be there. And then the cast representing the various areas of Animal Kingdom paraded as the Circle of Life played, and Mickey made a little appearance. I mean, it was very sweet, but like it was very much a reflection of what you would typically see if you came to the park before a rope drop.
I have a question. Do you think the cast members representing Rafiki's Planet Watch are finally happy to be on the mainland?
Were there any animals in it at all?
Mm-mm. No, just the little stuffed chimpanzee that Jane carries with her everywhere, the little plush thing.
Okay. And Nemo
Mickey,
was there. Nemo was there.
Minnie. Donald
Dory,
Duck and Goofy.
Marlin.
Yeah, the Yeti.
What, Rafiki?
The
that
Yeti was
amazing.
Awesome.
They had the stilt walker that was the Yeti. It was really incredible. And then shortly after that, they had a presentation by Joe Rohde for the cast and annual pass holders and guests to attend.
Did you see the Yeti for more than 2 seconds, though? Because, you know... Well, maybe he just walked by, and some people just didn't know if they whether saw it or not.
He actually flew over us at about 30,000 feet.
747.
The presentation, we have full video and images of it, of the presentation that Joe Rohde gave about the development of Animal Kingdom. And it's very interesting to learn the depth of research that went into the development and creation of Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it was a really solid explanation of why it works. And I thought it was it made me kind of take a second look at a lot of things that I appreciated already, but kind of got that depth. It's like taking an art course almost. There's a piece of art that you really love, but then you learn a little bit more about the intricacies of the story behind it or the techniques that were used to create it, and you just kind of get a further appreciation of its beauty.
Can't relate, but yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Okay.
I'm just sad we never got to live the experience of photographing animal butts.
One of the things Mr. Rohde talked about was some of the ideas they had about entrances into the park. And one of them was you'd be entering the park and all the animals would be entering with you. So they'd be sculpted, dozens of sculpted animals going into the park with you. And so as you stand there and turn around to have your picture taken in front of the entrance, you'd be accompanied by a bunch of animal butts. Mm-hmm. And so they discarded that one.
But I heard they never had to fertilize the area.
They call it compost, actually.
Oh. Also that day, since... Disney's Animal Kingdom, although not a zoo, it's part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. It had various tables and presentations throughout the park in celebration of Earth Day, as did zoos throughout the nation, probably globally as well.
Party for the planet, woo woo.
Yep, party for the planet. So you could learn about making better choices when you go shopping, what type of grocery bag to choose, what products are better for the Earth versus others.
Skippy.
The thing that I really enjoyed was going over to
Jeff and Peter Pan.
Was going over to Rafiki's Planet Watch.
It's a little alien from the encounter.
And learning about the variety of projects that Disney works on, because I think that Disney's role in environment issues, or not even I don't want to say issues, but just in learning more about the Earth, I think that Disney's involvement in that is far more than people realize. Disney's Animal Kingdom was kind of in many ways a first step to Disney really becoming a partner in a lot of research projects. They send people out to Vero Beach to assist with the turtles making their way back to the ocean. They send researchers down to the coast of Argentina to help learn more about the Franciscana dolphins. And,
San Francisco.
And they developed a microphone that elephants can wear so that researchers are better able to learn about the vocalizations of elements. So they've done an awful lot.
And they might win American Idol in the long
run. I believe Fanboy can do that elephant vocalization.
No. So it goes well beyond just collecting the money that you see when, you know, you give a dollar, you get the button. I mean, they've done a lot more beyond that and beyond the recycling programs that they have on property and all that kind of thing. So it was very interesting to learn more about that.
Going back to the Joe Rohde presentation just for a moment, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, a 45-minute presentation that's written for cast. I mean, Joe Rohde, in giving this, kept mentioning cast. This is a presentation for the cast that they were kind enough to let guests go to as well. So if you've never seen anything like that, a lengthy presentation by an Imagineer on what it's like to develop an entire park, especially one as unique as Animal Kingdom, you know, I definitely recommend going to Laughing Place. It's 45 minutes. It's in four separate clips. And watch it all. And it's an amazing experience. And what I found so funny is I'm picturing this being done at Disneyland, and there being lineups at 6 a.m. for people to get in. And this was held in the Nemo Theater and
half full, maybe.
At Animal Kingdom. It was maybe half full with a decent number of those people being cast members.
Mm-hmm.
So just one more difference between the two coasts.
Very. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. I think the other thing that was really neat about it was the coordination by Walt Disney, by WDWCelebrations.com. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of Disney fans there. I noticed they were wearing those lanyards. And so whenever there's a Disney event, you have kind of a bit of a homecoming feel. You bump into people you know.
A
you chat
homecoming.
Around. So it was fun.
Perhaps
it was fun
the
for that
happiest
reason.
Homecoming.
No, it is.
So it's neat
is
to see
nice
familiar
thing.
Faces, catch up with people, duck from people you don't want to see. You know, what you do at a homecoming.
Fanboy found us anyway. I pointed before. No one could see that. Until we get the simulcast
and
going.
Yet he found us anyway. Very good. You're learning radio.
Yeah.
He found us anyway.
So last week we talked about Animal Kingdom and why it meant so much to us. And I thought there were a couple interesting posts on our boards about kind of in the same vein as what we were talking about. Animal Kingdom is so different than so many other parks, and so it attracted people in a little bit different way. So maybe Rebecca can give some excerpts from those intelligent posts.
Sir XS Tech.
And the unabridged of the unintelligent posts.
discussed Animal Kingdom as a place that he wasn't particularly fond of. He says he was, quote, Africa'd out. It seemed like everywhere you turned, Disney was creating some faux African sculpture parade stage, so it's kind of getting old.
Like the Outpost, it's just way overboard.
And then a few years ago, he and his wife decided to go ahead and visit Dak. He wasn't that impressed. He liked Dinosaur. They admired the care that went into Kilimanjaro Safari, but figured, we won't visit it next time. Their next trip, though, included their 2.5-year-old, and when they figured for her sake, they should go to Animal Kingdom and see the animals. And Everest was open, so they went ahead and did that. Oh, they wanted to do that. And then he talked about how his daughter loved digging in the boneyard. And then the following year, they went to Animal Kingdom again. And this time, both he and his wife talked a little more enthusiastically about visiting Disney's Animal Kingdom. And he said that, as we were talking about, he didn't have a huge list of things to see or do. It was just sort of, you know, go and take time to see it. So he said, I was surprised to find myself thinking fondly of these past trips and wondering when my feelings changed. I realized that Dak, which fans call Disney's Animal Kingdom all the time, I realized that Dak is the first park aside from Disneyland where I really have fond memories of my experiences there inside of the theme park's history. I didn't visit Walt Disney World until 91, Epcot until 96, and some would say these were periods beyond the glory days of these parks. So yet thinking about what I like about these parks, it's often things I never got to experience, or even so, very briefly before they were gone. And he talks about the old vacation magazines where you'd see people kind of lounging in the sun and, you know, taking a leisurely pace. And he says, you know, I never really had the chance to do that, but the old photos, you know, I connect with the old photos. He says, I still visit Epcot thinking I'm going to feel the same way I did when Horizons was there, even though I have 4 trips without Horizons to remind me otherwise. In short, I'm the worst kind of Disney fan, and I'm sure the company would hate a fan like myself. I go into the parks with perceived notions, not experiencing the moment, but trying to recapture the feeling of the park's past. Somehow, Disney's Animal Kingdom got to me despite that mindset. and I find myself relaxing there. Unlike the other parks where I feel compelled to ride every attraction, I can, despite the fact I don't like them nearly as much as whatever they replaced. At DAC, I really do feel like I'm on vacation, just meandering and seeing what's around the next corner instead of trying to hit that next fast pass time or Disney dining appointment. So I thought that, you know, that was kind of echoing a lot of what we were saying. And then Magnet chimed in with his own experiences of Disney's Animal Kingdom. He says, I'm wondering if anyone else has followed the same pattern. Disney's Animal Kingdom was the first Disney park that I didn't love the first time I walked through the gate. In all the other parks at Walt Disney World, the highest moment of expectation or excitement was on my first visit, and I thought the park was wonderful from the first day. He said he didn't feel that way. In fact, after leaving the first day, I thought I wouldn't return to it. Now the park is so high in my estimation that it competes very strongly with Epcot. Honestly, Epcot is starting to lose to it, for me at least. So what happened? And he shares that he thinks its quality will always win you over. At first, it was not exactly what I was expecting from the park. I had a different vision of what it would be, and it took me a while to realize what was there was actually better than what I was expecting. Although it seemed the park was rather empty, and there was very little to do there. True, it has grown since I first visited, and that improved things. But there really are a lot of things crammed in there you may not notice if you experience the park the way you experience all the other parks. It forces you to slow down, and that's a great aspect of its design. However, he says, and I agree with him to a point, that also can be the annoying part of the annoying aspect of the park because you can get lost there. So he talked about there's been a few times where, you know, it took him a while to figure out the layout and he got stuck between Africa and Asia. And he found that annoying because he wanted to kind of go from point A to point B, but he kind of found he had to meander a little bit.
Hold your breath. If you're stuck between Africa and Asia, you're probably underwater.
Very funny. You could be in the Middle East.
So he says, it's great to leave a park liking it more than you did the last time you visited. I wish I could say the same thing for Hollywood Studios, which lately just makes me wince. But I know it's getting some attention now, so hopefully that will turn around soon.
American Idol and Night of Joy are going to fix everything there.
Hey, Toy Story Mania.
Don't forget Grad Night.
So we were watching Mike and Mike today.
On ESPN Radio.
And it was the first annual, not to be repeated.
Feast on the First.
As Mike Golick competed in a spicy wing eating contest against some professional eaters.
Competitive eaters.
Yes.
And it was to fulfill a waiter. He lost.
And and in describing the wings and the experience that he's going to have while eating them, they described it as having the Tina Fey effect. The more you look, or in this case, the more you eat, the hotter it gets.
And they said that's the same thing with Tina Fey.
That she's
that
a sneaky
she's
pretty.
Sneaky pretty.
She didn't look that pretty in the beginning, but the more you stare at her, she's not so bad.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom kind of has that same effect. You look at it, you think about it, and it's a park. I remember before it opened, this is just
I never quite
park.
Expected that comparison.
Well, no.
I must admit.
You come to the LPP for insights like this.
Yes.
But
I come for the free food.
If you come and you linger for a bit and you just kind of give it a chance, it creeps up on you.
It
and
grows
it's
on
one
you.
Special park, like a fungus.
Just like the landscape.
You're a lot nicer. Unlike last week where you were all into the carnivorous aspect. I'm the one that gets to listen and edit these podcasts afterwards, and I was just cracking up when Rebecca went off on the flame tree and the carnivore.
I love that place. I still love that place. It makes me so happy.
So. I think we can close the book on Animal Kingdom's 10th.
Yep.
And not into the 11th. So.
And Disney's Hollywood Studio turns 19 today.
We were at Disney's Hollywood Studios recently and saw the sign for Pixar Studios that's going up there by Toy Story Mania, and the Barrel of Monkeys are now stretched across, and they've got Green Army Men. So it's beginning to really take shape over there. There's a lot of brick. They've added like a lot of brickwork. Right? I mean, that was new, right?
That's been there for a while. Part's been there for a while.
That was new to my eye. Because the letters were covered by garbage bags, so you could kind of make out their shape, but you couldn't see their definition. It's like, so will it be a Wally R or will it be the Emeryville R?
This just in. Apparently, they've renamed the park to Disney's Hollywood Studios because I was there, and the archway by the animation courtyard said so.
Wow. Wait, this name change happened when?
January.
So 4 months?
Yeah, it wasn't like it was a billboard or something.
That would take a year.
Do you remember how any time that little sign would disappear?
Every single time.
it would be like, oh, they're finally going to do it. They're going to change the name of the park.
And the funny thing is, like, it seemed like that sign had to get refurbished, like, every other week. It's like, so you'd go to the park, it would be under a tarp or whatever. It's like, all the time. When was it ever finished?
The last time it went down, it was just a few weeks before they announced all this. So it's like, why did it even come back? Which reminds me of another refurbishment picture we just saw.
Yeah, I just saw that at California Adventure, and they're refurbishing the railings at the Sun Icon Fountain, which just seems like, okay, it might not look so good, but can you wait like 3 months before you
do? No, you can't because...
Quality.
Quality will out, which is a sentence I still don't understand, but I said it anyway.
But it's not like there's no money. It's not like there's everything's pristine and that's the only thing that needs to be fixed. I'm sure that money could be utilized somewhere else.
I wonder if it was a safety... I wondered if it was a safety issue because I agree with you. It seems like if you're going to spend the money, that was an odd choice considering that. But who knows? Maybe the hubcap isn't going away.
Maybe they're fixing the heliostats and this is the first part of that project.
Maybe the only thing that's standing will be the rails. They'll destroy everything everything else and the rails will be there.
What stopped moving first? Condor flat sign or the heliostat?
It'll be like the spire that they don't paint. It'll be a reminder that California Adventure used to be like that.
The heliostats, cool. I think, are like the trees in Tomorrowland. The palm trees are supposed to open and close depending on where the sun is.
Oh, here? They're supposed to do that?
Yeah.
We know how that works.
Same one tree is closed and the rest are open.
I remember when they were redoing Tomorrowland out at Disneyland, one of the Imagineers was at the park and I was chatting with him and I begged and begged and begged for those palm trees because I loved them when we visit here, those metallic palm trees. I'm like, can you guys bring those to Disneyland? It'd be so cool.
That wouldn't fit in with Montana.
But I lost.
We got Montana.
Yeah. That was funny, though. Did you see that Ursula on the boards knows the words to that song?
No.
Yeah, she was saying, I think I'm the only person on earth who knows the words of that song.
I know the words.
So now I like want to learn. No, you'd be wrong. So what's the Wally news?
Wally had two new, what do you call them, interstitials? Interstitials?
Yeah, sure.
Video clips.
Come out. Wally meets a hula hoop and Wally meets a magnet.
My favorite part about the hula hoop one was a hula hoop trademark, like whatever company owns the hula hoop trademark.
And I hope that Magnet gets to post about when he met Wally.
I know.
Speaking of trademark, I hope he made some money off of that, too.
That was funny. When I first saw it on Disney.com, it was Wally meets Magnet. I'm like, oh, wow. How cool.
But cool. What's the clips?
They were very cute.
He's cute.
He's terribly adorable.
Unlike Stitch, I don't want to like Wally. I'm not sure why, but
I'm with you.
But he's grown on me.
I just got an email from a friend in California who was saying that Wally's going to hurt her checkbook quite a bit because we heard about all the various little robot releases that it looks like are around the corner with this character. One of them, the Ultimate Wally, he's 200.
Ultimate Wally.
With karate chop action.
Sunday.
I used to have an Ultimate Wally, but it was back, you know, the Leave It to Beaver version.
He says, listen to this. The Ultimate Wally is an advanced robot featuring 10 motors, giving it a high level of movement animation. The remote control makes it easier to program his movements. They can do he can do various patterns with voice activation. He can be a follow me mode and just follow the human voice around the room. He has several emotional states. An easy system for programming thousands of combinations of movements with the remote control. Numerous sensors allow him to detect and respond to his environment. Infrared sensors allow him to avoid obstacles. Sonic ears. He can detect sound. He's MP3 compatible, which I'm guessing it means he'll dance when they put that in. So, I mean, that's so
I hear
cool.
He also controls Skynet.
I love the emotional moods or something. It's like, I don't want to follow you around today.
I know, having been to Universal Studios this week, that's a terrifying proposition.
He's going to be previewed at the San Mateo Fairgrounds at the event there, May 3rd through 4th. I think it's called Maker Faire, a popular ever-growing gathering for diehard geeks of all ages and tech do-it-yourselfers.
So, Fanboy, you're going to give us a full report?
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time since I've been to San Mateo.
Yep.
That's where Electronic Arts is, isn't it?
Or EA.
I was going to say...
Are they not called Electronic Arts anymore?
No, Ross Dress for
Wait,
Less.
Tell me, does Bill Budge still work for them? Pinball Construction Set. That's still on the retail shelves, right?
I don't know if they've just... chopped...
It's in the game.
No, see, I don't know if they've chopped Electronic Arts off the name or whether or not they just go by EA. I think the copyright is still Electronic Arts, isn't it?
I don't know. Everywhere
Trip,
I see it's
EA. Does Trip Hawkins still own them?
Interesting.
Anybody know?
Yeah.
I wonder when that happens.
He owns shares of EA.
What, they're a public company now?
Aren't they?
They used to make games for my Commodore 64.
And now they make games for your PS3.
But back then, they weren't a public company.
They are. NASDAQ. ERTS.
What's their real name?
Electronic Arts.
It's in the game.
EA.
EA Games. Challenge everything. Is that still their
slogan? Have you guys played Madden 08?
That would be EA Sports.
Same company, right?
I know. I'm just saying. In that EA Sports.
Still in the game. It's good. I played it last week.
Really? On what, PS3?
Xbox.
Ooh.
I want to take this opportunity to whine about the fact that I still don't have a Wii. And it's only because it's not in stores.
Worst
boys
console name ever, for the record.
Boys.
I'm mad I played Madden for like an hour and a half, and not one time was I able to get a reference to Turducken.
Aww.
Wait, you have to play it in November to get that reference.
Oh.
Those computers now, they have a date inside.
Did you know that when they first were doing their sports brand, it was introduced as EASN, but they changed it due to legal difficulties with ESPN?
You know, ESPN brands their games now.
Yes, they do. And they're about to do films, right? Aren't they? Isn't that the big thing now? They're
ESPN or EA?
ESPN.
ESPN is going to do films.
Yeah, sports
like
films.
Like We Are Marshall.
Yeah.
No, they didn't do We Are Marshall. They did three.
But they're going to do them for movie theaters. That was for TV.
It's great that they're distancing themselves from the entertainment industry.
That was interesting timing. Right after, pretty much just a few weeks after saying how we're not going to do any more of these. What was the last one they did? The Bronx is Burning.
Right.
We're going to distance ourselves from the entertainment, blah, blah. Then they announced ESPN Films. You never know.
They just need to make up their minds.
What does ESPN stand for?
Entertainment Sports Programming Network. That's right. It's like...
See,
whenever you see something on ESPN that's not sports, it's entertainment. Like, whenever you see something that on A&E that's not art, it's entertainment.
See, I just always thought ESPN was like just ESPN.
It
just
is
didn't
now.
Mean anything.
It's Espen.
There's
Espen.
Plenty of kids named Espen.
That is a disturbing thing.
And weekends, too.
I wonder how many children are named Espen.
Let's name our kid ABC. Doo 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 doo.
Wubba wubba.
I think.
Bravo.
Logo.
Lifetime.
The Weather Channel. hey, John, you want to meet my son? This is CNN.
Now, you've always said you're going to name your kid Luke.
Yes.
I think if you have two, you now have your second name.
Agreed.
Because I can really see you doing that.
That would be awesome.
So,
very disturbing.
This week we traveled up the four, as they say it here, up four, and got off on iDrive, made a left, entered the parking structure.
Oh, but like it was that easy.
But no, he didn't. He took surface streets because he couldn't figure out how to get to the four from where we were.
Can I continue?
And think you live here.
No, there's this really weird area right near those you know those outlet stores right there by Downtown Disney?
Right, yeah.
Well, if you're there, to get to the four, it's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's either you have to go back down and you end up in the traffic of the outlet stores and the church services and all that, or you go north and you can't get back on the four until SeaWorld.
It's just four.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, we ultimately made it to Universal Studios, which closed at 7 that day. 6:30, we made it over to for the ride. And we got in line. We were so excited.
Yay.
And we didn't move for a long time. And then they made an announcement. We have been closed for a brief time or whatever. They made that announcement about a half hour.
Now, be fair. On the way into the queue, we saw the sign saying that we're in rehearsals.
Oh, no, I'm not.
It's pre-opening.
It's fine. It's no big
deal. No, but I'm just
happy they didn't kick us out because they didn't actually open it until after 7.
Right.
So I'm thinking they could have kicked us out at any time and been done with it. So
right. That was nice that we were all waiting there and they let the queue continue.
Duff beer for me.
So, but we got to really experience the pre-show television.
Which is about it's a loop of about 45 minutes.
It was long, and it was awesome. What was your favorite part, Rebecca? If you can give Austria, beware. There is a spoiler
alert. Spoiler alert.
That would be hard to pick a favorite part.
Okay, then I'll pick mine.
I guess I most enjoyed the No, I'm not sure. I don't have a favorite.
When Krusty's, this ride is at Krusty Land.
Yes.
Not the
ride. Krustiest place on Earth.
We're heading to Krusty Land.
So everything is based on the fact that we're in Krusty Land.
Mm-hmm.
And in the film, or in the whatever they call it, they have Krusty talking about the history of the park, and he's talking about when he decided to build Krusty Land.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about this while standing on a carousel, which Rebecca noticed. That's just so clever. Walt Disney was watching the carousel when he decided to build Disneyland. And there's all kinds of stuff like that, both about The Simpsons and about theme parks in general and about Disney all over the place. And it's absolutely hilarious.
Just like the show. I mean, if you watch The Simpsons long enough, you've seen their little pokes at theme parks, including, I mean, not just Disney, including their own. Well, I guess it's not really their own because they're Fox and this is Universal. And
did you know that Simpsons Season 1 through 10 are now available on Fox DVD?
Well, I guess I did, because there's a little sign in the queue that lets me know.
So, Fanboy Rebecca and I got to experience the queue.
I don't get to share my favorite part.
Oh, you have one?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
So, Dr. Finkelstein, or whatever his name is, from Simpsons, is there. And he is sad that Krusty Land's being built at the site of the Institute of Future Technology. So, egads, he has a time machine. So, he goes back in time, runs over the guy that's about to give Doc Brown the lifetime lease to the Institute for Future Technology. So Doc Brown has to sell to the mercenary crown, Krusty the Clown. Then Doc Brown gets a job as a ticket taker after he cuts his hair.
That's funny.
It was very funny. I thought the setup for why the attraction was in the former home of the Back to the Future ride was well done.
It was a lot better than their first version.
And the whole setup... What?
Their first idea of how the backstory of that attraction?
Yeah.
They were digging.
Oh, stop. I thought the setup was well done. You walk in through an oversized Krusty the Clown head, like it's the entrance to the park, and then you're walking past carny stands, you know, little carnival games, like toss the ball at the fuzzy guy or knock over the milk bottles
That's my favorite game.
That's what they call it.
That's what the sign says.
Awesome.
Knock down the fuzzy guy. And then they have the knock the milk bottles. Three strikes, knock the milk bottles off the thing, but it says knock the nailed down milk bottles off the off the table. And then as you weave through the queue, they have a lot of flat screens with the foot. It's highlights of the Simpsons series 1 through 10 and woven with the backstory that Fanboy just shared. So little, you know, new footage featuring kind of the story of the attraction and little moments like Chief Wiggum comes on and talks about behavior in the park, you know, be good, and Homer appears one time and talks about the fantastic fried cotton candy, stuff like that. And they also have attraction posters as you're going through the queue. And then when you're on the ride, you actually get to kind of experience these various attractions that you saw in the posters. Yeah, Fanboy is being distracted by the M&M's commercial that's highlighting the new M&M's that celebrate Indiana Jones.
Snakes! Yeah, why did it have to be snakes?
But they're mint M&M's. That's the best part.
That sounds delicious.
And the
almost as good as fried cotton candy.
And the ride itself is a motion simulator. If you haven't been on Back to the Future,
Do you think they got all new vehicles, or they just kind of modified the existing ones?
They actually said that the vehicles are mostly new. I'm thinking not the chassis. I'm thinking the underneath more, the motion and that kind of stuff that they've upgraded that technology. But yeah, the doors come down just like the old DeLorean doors. Both Fanboy and Doobie started giggling like schoolgirls.
The weird part is at the end of the ride when suddenly you hear Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, stop. I loved it. My only complaint is that I'm short, and it's one of those.
Yeah, that's my complaint.
And it's one of those rides where there's a big movie screen. It's like kind of like Soarin', but you're in a little ride vehicle instead of in those beautiful seats where you can kind of look down and see into the abyss. So you actually have a floor. And because I'm short, the front of the ride vehicle kind of blocked most of the screen. So I saw a lot of Springfield's very blue, beautiful sky. But I couldn't see as much of the action portion of the screen that was below. So I ran into some challenges there every once in a while.
But
I loved the ride. The ride was great. It hit all the right notes as far as comedy, timing. It wasn't as rough as Back to the Future. I actually got injured on Back to the Future. That's one of the only theme park rides I've ever been injured on. So, yeah, so I loved it.
So there's not as much whiplashing as in Back to the Future.
I did not find
it
at all.
Yeah, I remember hitting my head way too many times on Back to the Future.
Right. Yeah.
Which would explain a lot, really.
What about you, fanboy? Did you enjoy the attraction?
I very much did, and I didn't want to. Because, first of all, you're kind of thinking, okay, it's Back to the Future, and they put a new ride film on it and painted the show building. But they did a great job, and I think it owes to The Simpsons just being kind of having that wit. So you go on it. It's not simplistic. You know, you've got a lot of things going on, yet it all doesn't seem overly complicated. You got huge Maggie. You got Sideshow Bob falling into barbed wire. It's using an old churro to propel himself. It's witty.
It's witty, and it's I think it'll stand up to at least a few repeat viewings.
I was
because
there's
just so much little stuff in there.
The screen is so large, and they've got stuff going on in various scenes. So you may be watching. Part of the ride experience is that you're on a coaster of doom, as it were, and you're going up and down, and you're being chased by Sideshow Bob and blah blah. But
who fell down?
But often on the sides, like left and right. Oh, that's bad. left and right, there's little things going on that aren't really affiliated with the focus of your attention, so you won't notice it. So you have to go back
because it's pretty much it's a big IMAX screen, so you can cram a bunch of stuff in there.
I hear
so
he got.
I really want to go back.
And Homer got chased by a huge ball of doom that. Tasted like a mint M&M.
Dude, you're obsessing now.
That was cool. That was pretty early on in it. That was cool.
There are a lot of very cute gags. Seriously, if you're a theme park goer, if you're a passionate theme park goer, you will recognize so many allusions to
if you're not,
various.
What are you doing with your time?
Various attractions.
And so, on the way out, I was talking to Fanboy and mentioned that the last attraction Universal opened was Disaster.
Which you also loved.
Which was amazing. I mean, a work of art. And The Simpsons.
Nothing like a granny getting shot by lighting.
And The Simpsons is like an F ticket. It's so good.
Okay.
Wow.
And then I was thinking about the Magic Kingdom.
You had a little too much stuff beer.
The Magic Kingdom and how its last two attractions were Stitch's Great Escape and Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. I'd say Universal is catching up.
Okay, well, look at it this way. What was the last
And think of what's coming next for Universal as well.
What was the last e-ticket added to the Magic Kingdom?
Winnie the Pooh is not an e-ticket, I guess.
No.
Splash Mountain?
Exactly.
Wow.
But we haven't seen the new DVC kiosk yet.
And based on their splash screen on Disney.com right now, we know we got the dough.
Dude, when Disney.com is putting out their press releases about how they have record revenue, does that include the charges they receive from Disney Vacation Club? Anyway, we all love The Simpsons. They're not really catching up, but it is nice to see that they've
because
opened.
They can't touch the nostalgia. I mean, the reality, to me,
not
the reality
they
is.
Not until they have a tram tour. Then they can touch the nostalgia.
Well, the reality is that they just can't. You can't connect with that, feeling that you have as a parent when your little girl hugs Cinderella or little kid meets Mickey. And then every time you go back, you have that little story again and again and again. And Universal just doesn't have that.
I don't know. I think there's going to be some dads remembering the first time their little boy stared at Betty Boop or...
Oh, stop.
Or the Marilyn Monroe walk
stop.
Around.
Stop. Stop.
Got tapped on the shoulder by Charlie Chaplin.
Stop.
I remember when I was walking at a... Walking through Universal, and I saw Marilyn Monroe, but I didn't have a birthday button on. I wanted her to sing the birthday song.
I wonder if she would have.
That'd be cool.
That
would
be
a magical moment.
Yeah. Especially since you're in your 20s.
So we have some reader questions, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Segways are for kids. Go ahead.
Well, you have the reader questions. I was tossing it to you.
I'm the one that does the tosses. Up, down. Okay, I got it.
Okay, more importantly, I was trying to change the subject.
Got something against Marilyn Monroe?
No, let's just move on.
What about Norma Jean?
Move on.
We got this email that I'd like to read first. It's from one Cartoon Man.
Cartoon.
Just
Yay.
Wanted to send a quick thank you to you.
You're welcome.
Rebecca.
Moving on. Hey.
And the podcast crew. But he does,
you're welcome.
He does specifically mention Rebecca. For the great tips for our recent WDW, that stands for Walt Disney World Vacation. I hate it when people use acronyms in InSpeak and someone just coming and listening doesn't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
That really drives me crazy.
Yeah, you'd never do that.
DCA stands for Disney's California Adventure.
DCA stands for Paul Pressler's Termination. I really appreciate the thought and time you guys put into my question about what a first-timer with limited time should see. Epcot is, I think, my new favorite park. I love that place, and I might even like it better than Disneyland.
Wow.
We took our time there, didn't see everything, of course, but we did see we really slowed down to savor. Just a great park.
Aww.
Close second is Animal Kingdom. Again, a gorgeous park. Everything I'd hoped it would be and more. We also enjoy DHS and Magic Kingdom 2. It's weird to see it abbreviated like that. Your tips for what to look for at all the parks are really fantastic. Thanks so much again, Jeff Aka Cartoon Man. So, on the heels of that...
Jeff Aka. That's an interesting name.
Yeah. He spells it A-K-A. I'm not sure what it means. So, on the heels of that, I thought, maybe we can try this again. Outcast John 2 writes, I can't wait to take my little boy on his first trip to WDW, and you now know what that means.
Walt Disney World.
And I was just wondering, what age do you folks out there think is a good age to take him? I was thinking of going next February during my wife and I's third anniversary when he will be a year and a half. That's some good math. But then I was also thinking of going next year in October when he should be two. So what do you think?
Oh, wow.
I know Rebecca has a lot of experience going to the park with youngsters. I know Fanboy sees people at the park with youngsters, and I know the captain once was a youngster, so I feel we have a good crew here.
As opposed to all of you.
You were never young. You were just born that way, apparently.
Well, you know, I helped Captain Jack find the Fountain of Youth in the long run, so, you know.
Well, how about you go first, Captain?
Choose between 18?
Yeah.
I would say the older the better in that case, because it's just, you know, I don't know. The human brain is just a little bit bigger at the time. I don't really know what to say.
The physiology of it.
I really don't know. But, like, the youngest I think I've actually, like, been to a park, like, with people that I know, I think the youngest kids I've been with would have been, like, 3 years old, I guess. And they seem to, like, love the whole – they're able to soak in everything. So I'd say – like the 2 to 3 years old is a perfectly fine time. I think once you're a little bit below that, then they might not necessarily remember it as well, in a sense. I think when you're, you know, from 2 to 3, you'll have more fond memories of going. That's what I say.
The first time I visited Walt Disney World, I would have been 18 months old. And my parents are convinced that I have memories of it. I don't know that I have memories of it, but my parents are convinced I have memories of it.
Hold on a second.
So it proves that my theory is right.
Because I can remember looking at... I can remember my dad holding me on the ferry. I can remember his jacket. It was a red and white checked jacket, and he was pointing at Cinderella Castle. I can remember this whole scene, but I don't know if it's because I've seen a picture of my dad from that day, and so I've just kind of and my dad tells the story of how I was crying, and dad said, look, it's the castle, and I immediately shut up and was just mesmerized. And I don't know if it was just, you know, hearing that story so often, but they tell that when we went to Disneyland when I was 5, that when we got to the main entrance, I kept asking, how come we didn't take the boat? So I seem to have had some memory of expecting that we would go on a boat ride from our car to the main gate. But I'm torn on this one because there's something special about 18 months old versus I think they're much more independent with their two, and I think that can be more challenging. Sometimes it's more fun to go when they're a little bit not quite so independent yet. And then go again when they're even more independent and grown up, like 4 or 5 or whatnot. But I don't think there's any age that's too young because I can remember going to Disneyland with my brother when he was very, very young, probably about a month. I mean, it would have been like that 5 weeks, 4 weeks kind of thing. And we only went. I mean, it was back in the day when
what
you could.
What was his favorite ride?
No, but it was back in the day when you could pay like $10 to enter the park, and not go on anything, and then leave. You know, kind of thing. So I think we went there and had lunch.
And somehow he managed to get on the Matterhorn. Who knows how he met the height requirement?
We took a picture of him with Donald Duck. He's so tiny in his little stroller. And there's Donald Duck, and I think we left. I mean, pretty much. Oh, and you know what? We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel because we had the. It was a very special trip. So it was the whole family. We spent the night at the Disneyland Hotel.
With Blossom there?
Went into the park for a little bit of time, and then went home.
What life-threatening disease did somebody have?
Something like that. So, no, it wasn't like that special, thankfully. I mean,
we were just there the other day, and we saw someone, and you asked, was it, like 8 days or something?
Yeah, the baby was a week. The baby was just a little over a week old.
No, I mean, they were sitting down.
Yeah, no, it seemed that they were locals, and so they were, you know, just coming into the park for a short period of time with a little one. And I know people rage debates all over the place about how young is too young to take kids out in public and whatnot. I'm not going to step into that. But, you know, they were there with their little one off to the side, and they seemed to be having a nice time. And I asked, is this her first trip? She just started laughing. She said, yeah. I'm like, okay. So they waited a week. So, yeah, it was cool.
The people I talk to seem to say it's not as important how old the kid is as how you treat the vacation with the kid. I mean, if he's a year and a half and you're centering the vacation on the child in terms of how much you push things and stuff, then, you know, is it all that much different being at home or being at Disney World?
Right.
As long as you treat it that way. Now, if you want to go on, if you're spending your $1,600, which, you know, you can go to Disney World for as low as, according to the commercials, and you want to get
really?
You want to get your $1,600 worth, and you're going to push it, then obviously you may not want to have to worry about an 18-month-old all along the way. So
right.
You really need to take that in consideration.
Mm, totally. It's a hard question to answer only because, for me, Disney has always been in my backyard, so it's hard right. to think about it in terms of, well, I may not go again for a few years. So.
Yeah.
I think you should at least wait until they're 2 or 3 before you take them to PI.
Oh, okay.
Banning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.
Down goes Frasier.
The thrill
Down
of victory.
Down goes Frasier.
And the agony of a bunch of white tents blocking your view of the Jonas
sad.
Brothers.
But
bum, 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 bum.
If you were patient, you could get your autograph.
What we're talking about is the Disney Channel games, which were taking place this week at the world famous
Jungle Cruise?
Disney World Famous Wide World of Sports.
Okay.
What's next?
I wasn't close.
Oh, did I tell you about my Disney Channel, Disney's Wide World of Sports experience lately?
No.
Okay. Well, I went there to go pick up my Disney Channel Games concert tickets.
Right.
For upcoming, what day was that, Saturday
it's
night?
It's a Saturday night.
Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night. And I was like, you know what? I haven't had a chance to really go eat at What's Next Cafe or Disney's All-Star Cafe. No.
Nope.
Disney's
Wild
World
Sports
Cafe. Whatever it's called this week. It doesn't really matter. But you can't go in from the old entrance. You have to go to the back entrance. But you have to go through the turnstile where there was a cheerleading event going on. So they wanted me to buy a ticket to the cheerleading event. I said, fanboy, don't play that. And they let me in because – I guess I didn't look like I was going there to compete when there's a cheerleading competition. And I went in and I enjoyed my roast beef and blue cheese sandwich. But there were a lot of girls.
Did you get a smoothie?
I did. That's a great smoothie.
That is a great smoothie.
The tropical smoothie at Disney's Wide World of Sports Cafe. Highly recommend it.
And why are you complaining about a lot and lot of girls?
Because yeah, there's a difference between... First of all, I was surprised at how many guys that were there, but that's another story. They're the annoying kind of girls.
They're beaker?
They're Dito?
Yes, they don't speak.
And my
English.
Assistant, the cheerleader.
Yeah. You could hear them. In fact, you could hear that they were going to bring, you know, one of the bomb sniffing dogs in the complex, and he like turned away because he's like the high pitched noise interfered with his ears.
So, this week, the Disney Channel games have been going on at Disney's Wide World of Sports. And this is an event that's filmed here and then airs during the summer months. It's like a little mini-series. It runs, like, 5-6 weeks during the summer. And they have 4 teams, red, yellow, green, and blue.
Blue.
And purple, among, orange, yellow, green, among the people who red. Compete were, you know, the Jonas Brothers were there. Miley Cyrus was scheduled to attend. Selena Gomez, the Cheetah Girls.
Was the trash can showing up?
Trash can was not there,
no,
much
I'm
to my
sorry.
Disappointment.
Trash can was not there.
Maybe it'll be. You know what I heard though? Maybe he only might be there for the concert.
Kyle Massey was there, and I heard that he had laryngitis. And I wondered if it was because he went to the Magic Kingdom and spent too much time screaming on attractions, and so he couldn't speak the next day.
But Doobie, I hear the trash can is writing an autobiography though. So,
what's it called?
A Day in the Life of the Trash Can. It's very simple. You know, how many books have that title?
I hear
not very many.
I hear there's going to be a raffle drawing at the concert, and the winner gets to pick whatever they want from inside.
And Cole and Dylan were there, and
the Sprouse Boys.
And we saw Jason Dolly, or is it Dolly? Probably Dolly. Of
isn't Dooley?
Hello, Dolly.
I don't know. It's only one O. D O double L E Y.
Okay. D-I-double-G-R. That
and
spells
then Mitchell Musso and Moises from Hannah Montana.
Well, I hope he wasn't in the high jump competition.
Yeah, me too. So it was a lot of fun. But this year, unlike last year...
We went last year.
Yeah, last year it was far more guest-friendly. They had... You could, like, be right there by the... By the event. So, in essence, you had an opportunity to be on camera virtually. I mean, they just you could be right down by the field. And this year, they had ropes. So, you really had to stay much more between, like, first and third, if you think of the field there. And then they had large white tents all the way along the area between the grandstand and the field. So, once the stars weren't on camera anymore, they could kind of disappear into the tent.
And even if they weren't trying to disappear, the tents were just so prevalent mm-hmm. that if they were just walking out in the open, you still were blocked by the tents from seeing them.
Right. So it wasn't quite as fan-friendly as last year. And they also, last year, the first day, they mistakenly, I suspect, did not keep people from bringing in cameras and whatnot. And they the next day and the subsequent days they did, because it is a live set. I mean, they are... filming this for production for use in the summer, so obviously they don't want, you know, everybody out there knowing the yellow team won or whatnot, because right. that kind of, you know, hurts what
like,
you're trying to
it's
do.
It's like walking around Disney's Hollywood Studios with all the filming going on and the live sets and everything.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, exactly,
yes.
Yeah, right. But there they say, you know, go ahead, keep your cameras out, because you never know what you're going to see.
Who or what?
Oh.
Don't
so,
go there.
Oh, we'll go there, but not yet. So it was kind of disappointing in that way. However, I will say that the Jonas Brothers, and I wish I knew them. I wish I knew them apart. I don't know. Yeah, I know. That's what accompanies Jonas Brothers. I don't know them well enough to know which is which. But one of the boys came out and he signed autographs pretty much from dugout to dugout. I mean, it must have been 50 yards.
Yeah, he was very patient.
Of signing. And if you were just, you know, you had something for him to sign, he was there. And he was like a little machine with it.
Gave
he
a couple of hugs.
Had his own little pen. So he'd just grab your thing, sign it, grab it, sign, grab it, sign, grab it, sign. And he had the largest bodyguard I've ever seen.
That was a massive man.
That was big guy.
Cobra Bubbles?
Yeah, totally.
But bigger.
Totally.
Picture a big Cobra Bubble.
Yeah.
Like Cobra Bubbles after he's been exposed to nuclear radiation?
Exactly.
You got it. Cobra Bubbles at Mr. Burns' plant.
And then as he was walking past...
Where was he in that ride, by the way?
As he was walking back to his back to the set, they started singing When You Look Into My Eyes.
When you look...
Oh, the fans did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very cool.
They started serenading him, and it reminded me like something out of Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah, me too.
No, it didn't. You have no idea what I'm talking about. And then the weird moment for me, though, was when their mom was walking by and these girls started yelling out, Mama Jonas, we love your boys. That just kind of weirded me out a little
bit.
Hey,
I was like, okay. Wow, yeah,
I think she yelled back, and where were you when I was changing diapers?
I didn't know Mama Jonas and my mom had something in common.
Being? I'm confused.
Every time my mom goes out, Mama fanboy. I love your boy.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time.
Oh.
All the time.
I don't even forward those emails to you anymore.
So it was a lot of fun to to go and see the girls, and they were screaming. And then as soon as they got something signed,
they just screamed some more.
Oh yeah.
Or either that, they went beep 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 beep.
Same girls, actually. It was a package deal. You got to go to the cheerleading and then the Disney Channel games.
So it was fun.
Although I'm probably one of the few people that got Devil Rays tickets and
Disney Channel
games,
yeah, exactly.
Tickets.
We'll see the Devil Rays. That won't work because they're just
by the way,
Rays now.
6-0 at Disney's Wide World of Sports.
Yes,
complex,
they are.
All I gotta say.
And on Wednesday, when they weren't filming at Wide World of Sports, a number of the Disney Channel stars participated in a motorcade at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I saw the Jonas
motorcyclists
boys were there.
Started.
I think it was a cat
and
rocker.
Ended the,
yeah, exactly. The I think it was the cast.
And
of
it all
camp
began
rock.
In 5, 4, 3. Wait, two.
You said it was the cast of Cop Rock?
Camp Rock, yeah.
Camp Rock, okay.
Stephen Bochco should do a Disney Channel movie.
Dude, we went to Disney's Hollywood Studios the other day. We had the worst tour experience I've ever had there.
The worst tour experience?
Yeah. We
Our
took
tour
the-
guide, wait, who will remain nameless.
I'm assuming this is
guilty.
the thing that kind of goes places
right.
at the back of the park.
You know that little tag they have after Harbor Attack?
Yeah, that little thing. Okay.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
He, his jokes were not pleasant and a little.
They tell jokes on that?
And a little.
That was part of the problem.
And kind of a little off color, I think. I'm not sure if he intended what he said to come across the way it did. So therefore, I'm kind of like hesitant to share it, but yet I was terribly disturbed by it.
Because it may not have been off color. We may have just missed.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, because we were the very last car of the train, and he was in the very front, so he could have meant it more as a visual joke.
Did he say anything that the past couple of times I've been on it, they always say rumors that everybody knows are fake.
He did tell us the Villains Park is coming.
No.
No.
Which one did he say that we thought was very funny?
Apparently Indiana Jones.
Oh, I know the use. It was he talked about how they used the GTOs because they were free.
Oh, yes. Dude.
And I laughed at that.
That was and to cap it all off, the AFI experience was closed.
Yeah, that was disappointing. And it didn't say something new was coming. It just said the villains are making you something new. And I'm like, more villains? Can't we change topics?
Maybe the villains are making something else.
Oh, they're going to make the most beautiful princesses exhibit?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
You know your villain's career has reached a new low when they're making the princesses exhibit.
Captain, do you have a theme song for us? Captain, your theme song has changed.
Well, this is actually for Fanboys Disney Math.
Oh, okay. We're switching things around today.
Oh, yes.
Okay, the myth is Fanboy can sing, but what's your real one?
That they're called Thompson's Gazelles, when everyone knows they're called Tommies. Tommies.
Fanboys Disney Myth, what you got there?
But see, what are bongos commonly known as?
The ghosts of the forest.
The ghosts of the forest, even though you see them every single time you're on the safari.
I see ghosts. Ghosts.
Bing, bing. I ain't afraid of no ghost. Anyway. Fanboy.
There's something strange in the neighborhood.
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
Or bongos. Anyway.
I'm afraid of no bongo. I'm afraid of no bongo. Another one bites a bongo.
What is your myth, Skewerhead?
Okay. Well, some folks have heard that Disney is not going to be doing any of the Narnia movies. All of the Narnia movies, they were just going to do 3.
I heard that on the internet.
So then Disney said they were going to do all 7. And reaffirmed it.
I heard that on the internet.
And then the producer said that they were just going to do 3.
And I heard that on the Backlot Tour.
And then the producer, same producer, said they weren't going to do 3, said they were casting directors for the 4th. So the myth is that Disney and WandaMedia have any clue as to how many Chronicles of Narnia films they were going to be producing.
But we do know that the next one will have the Easter Bunny, the 3rd one will have St. Patrick, and the 4th one will have St. Valentine.
St. Valentine, that's not a person. I mean, let me rephrase that. That's not a mythical holiday creature. Cupid. Go with Cupid.
No, because, well, never mind.
No one's like, I hope St. Valentine visits me this morning and gives me some arrows underneath my pillow.
You and I have different associations with what Narnia is showing us.
Although, I guess I actually finished reading The Chronicles of Narnia because I read all the movies we make, books we make movies about, and some those last couple movies are going to be very hard to produce. They lack what's the word? Plot.
Well, we did see smart people.
Oh, yeah.
Some of it.
bits and pieces.
A portion of smart people.
We saw the first 40 minutes.
You had a taste, if you will, of smart people.
No, that's what we needed between. That was like the movie watcher network before Bank Job was the imperatif between smart people and Bank Job.
Captain, it's your turn.
All right. Last time when you joined us on this podcast, I asked you Discovery Island, which is the current, entry land to, well, not after the Oasis, that is. The sort of main street area of Disney's Animal Kingdom used to go by a different name. What was that name?
I know the answer.
The Outpost.
River Country.
No.
Safari Village.
Safari Village.
Yeah.
So that means that Utah Josh is this week's winner.
Yay, Utah Josh.
Utah Josh wins his very own copy of The Imagining Field Guide to the Magic Kingdom. So email podcastlandplace.com and let us know where we should send this, and we'll get it off to you. If I'm correct, you're going to have two numbers in your street address, I predict.
But
why do you say that?
Because they're all like that in Utah.
Really? That's like all the streets in Utah are numbers?
Every address I've seen in Utah, it's like da-da-da west, da-da-da north. A number west, like a number, something like that.
Wow.
Interesting.
But here's the key thing here, okay?
Safety, courtesy.
This reply was so incredibly speedy.
How speedy was it?
Well, I'll tell you. It just so happens.
No, that's not the way that goes. Let's try that again. It was so speedy. How speedy was it? It was so speedy that...
It took him 10 minutes between when the podcast went up until he answered.
Which is impossible, because the Captain's Challenge was much more than 10 minutes into the show.
So,
So he's smart and skips all the stuff before it.
Do you think he goes back and listens?
I hope not.
So, anyway, there you have it. But this week's question, on the same theme as with Animal Kingdom... The tune that I played for Fanboy previously. I will play it again for your listening environment.
You know what he's saying, right?
To all who come to this happy place.
Well, okay. The question is, what is that song entitled? And if you could tell me the English translation of the Swahili lyrics, you get, you know, bonus points.
I believe the first line is, "It's my lucky day."
No, not quite.
That's a good one, Captain. I like that question a lot.
I love that
sounding,
song.
So, yeah.
That's one happy song. Yep.
So yes, you don't have to tell us you don't have to be the expert in Swahili to get the answer right. We just see if you know the title of the song.
I can say... No exit.
Hakuna Katoka.
It means no exit for the rest of your days.
You know what I noticed today during the course of our show? Sure this has been pointed out umpteen times before, but it's my first time noticing. There are two peanut butters named after Disney characters.
Peter Pan and Skippy?
Yeah.
You know, in little known fact, in The Princess and the Frog, there'll be Jif. Isn't Jif the one Annette Funicello sponsored?
Which one was it? Was it Jif?
She was the choose your mom.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's like an internet funicello.
Is it not legal for a peanut butter not to have a Disney connection?
Well, are there any other like big peanut butter names?
Smuckers.
Oh, with a name like Smuckers. That would be good.
Aren't they the official sponsor of
they sponsor stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the Main Street Bakery at the Kingdom.
This is worth an investigation.
So we have to find a peanut butter brand that does not have a Disney affiliation.
Right. And I don't mean like Joe Shack peanut
butter.
No,
I understand what you mean. Like
brand.
A national brand. Okay.
But Joe Shack is located in Garden Grove, just down Harbor Boulevard.
Actually, Joe Shack, that's that thing in Pirates, right? Isn't that what that actually is?
Bum, 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 bum,
well, but
bum,
there was Injun Joe's bum, Cave, but bum. Now it's Pirate Slayer, so.
Injun Joe's Shack. Podcastlabplace.com, 866-718-9408. Or leave a message on the lastplace.com section of the discussion boards. Ask us your Disney questions on any subject whatsoever. You can see it doesn't take much. We're going to read it, and then we're going to talk about whatever we want. No, we'll answer it, and we might even be helpful, and we might even be funny. Hopefully we'll be one of the two. But
probably not both. It's like a Venn diagram, the middle section, not so much.
Anyway, this is the part of the show. What?
I have very important news to share with Doobie. I don't think that you know this already. Perhaps you do. But this week, it was announced that Kim Richards...
Yes?
...and Ike Eisenman...
Who cares?
...are going to return for cameo appearances in the upcoming Witch Mountain movies.
Woohoo! Kim Richards is coming back to the big screen.
Yep, I thought you would appreciate knowing that, so I decided to share that.
Hope I think Ike won't be too uppity to drive his NEV through Celebration anymore.
Oh, I know, huh? I think that I seem to recall that it was she will have a part as like a waitress in a Roadhouse diner.
Aren't all female cameo appearances required to be waitresses and diners?
And Eisenman's going to be a sheriff. So it was very cool.
That is so cool.
But I had to share.
I will be seeing that movie now.
As opposed to before, when you just, I would just have to go see a vampire movie.
For now I won't owe you. I mean, you won't owe me, exactly.
And this was entitled Race to Witch Mountain.
And that follows Escape From and Escape
Return to. Yeah.
And now this is Race 4?
Race 2.
Race 2, like a kind of like a walkathon kind of thing?
They're calling it, rather than calling it a remake, they're calling it a reimagining, which to me means they're taking a similar concept, but making great changes to it, so they don't want to call it a remake.
Gotcha. A retelling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then
Then the next one is Escape to Witch Mountain Goes Bananas.
Witch Mountain Goes to Monte Carlo.
That'll be the
Witch Mountain, fully loaded. Witch Mountain 2, Electric Boogaloo.
And then they're going to do a stunt show around it, and then they'll kind of ask this question. It flies on a broom, and it's related to around Rushmore. You know where I'm going. Anyway.
What do you think of... So Witch Mountain, what did you think of working with Kim Richards?
It'd be like a little earthquake. Oh, dear. Mountain right. Split in half.
And I'm sure the Please Register logo will be in the bottom right corner.
That's an arcane reference.
All right.
Captain, what's today?
What is today? Well, being that today is the 1st of May, I think we all know what today is.
Mayday.
Mayday.
Da, 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 da.
And also, if you like flowers and or live in Hawaii, it is also Lei Day, as in L-E-I, for the record.
Lei Day!
It just wouldn't be a show without Jerry Lewis, would it?
That's for all our French listeners.
But tomorrow, I advise that you visit Donald Duck because it is No Pants Day.
Oh, that's cool. Speaking with Mr. Dutch.
Where are you guys going? Because I didn't get on that train.
Mr. Johnson, don't get up. From the Simpsons pre-show.
From the Simpsons pre-show. Yeah,
No Pants Johnson.
No Pants Johnson.
How about you, Rebecca? Did Walt have any words of wisdom for us this week?
Today I'm going to share with you Walt's words of wisdom about women.
Let me take notes.
Women are the best judges of anything we turn out. Their taste is very important. They are the theater goers. They are the ones who drag the men in. If the women like it, to heck with the men. And that is your Walt quote for the day.
So more princess merchandise.
There are many facets to this, Mr. Disney.
Yes, there are.
That's funny.
Yes.
Good thing he listened to his wife when it came down to the whole naming Mickey thing, though.
Yep.
Anything else you wanted to mention today, Rebecca?
Oh, my fingers are very sore from typing up all the upcoming events. So please do me a favor and go to laughingplace.com and look at the upcoming events and see that there are an amazing variety of events that fall under the Disney Company label.
The thrill of victory. The agony of defeat.
You have Disney on Ice. You have High School Musical on Ice. You have an upcoming corporate presentation as we enter the second quarter?
Third quarter.
We have Prince Caspian.
How convenient that the TV has showing a commercial of Prince Caspian to remind you.
I am Caspian.
They prepare to die. it's pretty incredible just all the different things you can. Oh, there's the food and wine stuff continuing at California. There's Flower and Garden continuing here.
The Little Mermaid at the New York World of Disney.
Oh, and I know Prince Caspian as well coming soon, too.
You can go meet the stars of Prince Caspian.
At the World of Disney. Yep.
You can go meet Cinderella at World of Disney.
They have...
Press 4.
You know, there's still Little Mermaid on Broadway, which just had a big uptake in tickets during the recent weekend. They saw 114K uptick in their sales. So, yeah, it was very interesting to sit there and to try and cull all that information from the net and gather together and just look. And not only the fact of the variety of events, but the variety of places they're happening. I mean, Disney is really beginning to embrace the global market much more so. They're about to have something called pop star tryouts or pop star auditions in India, and they're inviting people from throughout India to sing Bindi songs. Bollywood.
I thought you were talking about the little kangaroo girl from the Macy's
Parade. No, sorry. Bollywood songs. I misspoke. And they're not singing Bindi the Jungle Girl songs. So they're being invited to sing Bollywood songs, and then it'll be narrowed down into a you win a trip to Mumbai and Mumbai.
You might even be on Bollywood Squares.
So just lots of cool things happening for the company around the world.
Or a free trip to Disney's Bollywood Studios. Fanboy, what you got?
Welcome back. Your dreams are your ticket out. Welcome back to the Disney stores. We own you again. Ha ha.
And by sheer coincidence, annual pass holders right now through the end of June can get 15% off at all North American Disney stores.
Really? Annual pass holders at Disneyland or Disney World?
It's in the Disney World Mickey Monitor. I hope Disneyland's not getting the, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, that'd be sad.
I know.
That'd be very sad. Ha ha. You people on the West Coast. Oh, we'll have to call our buddies out there and be like, yes. Did you guys get that?
I believe Mr. Cotter is now president of them, and Horseshank and the crew now work there. But it's great to have them back. I want to go to a Disney store as soon as I have time, but mm-hmm. It's a busy week. Iron Man came out. Hello. And
priorities.
Do those people instantly become Disney cast members?
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, instantly. I'm sure there's some database configuration thing that needs to be worked out. But I'm guessing that there's not a coincidence that happened on May 1st. I'm guessing that was some sort of nice break fiscally. Mm-hmm. Although I guess I was reading in the filing that Children's Place will continue to support them for 6 months, probably with sourcing and stuff. Because if you go to DisneyStore.com today, like I did, if you click on careers, it tells you all about a wonderful career at Children's Place.
Okay.
Ah.
So still the transition needs to finish.
Cool. Well, thank you, fanboy.
All those silver passes I need to mail out.
I'm so excited about Star Wars weekends now.
Dun, 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 dun.
Since there was something else highlighted in the Mickey
Monitor.
Also in the Mickey Monitor were these cool... were these crude drawings of some cool characters that are coming to Star Wars weekend.
Those were pretty rough sketches.
Including Jedi Mickey, but he's been here before, so that's no big deal. Stormtrooper Donald.
Princess Minnie,
and Darth in boxer shorts, Vader Goofy.
Yep.
Very you know what's cool. funny, though, is Stormtrooper Donald and Darth Vader Mickey Goofy, they're articulated faces. That's what takes them so long. Just, they're not very efficient in their resources.
That's funny.
Just a joke.
Yeah, but very funny.
So confused.
They don't have mouths.
Stormtrooper don't move their
mouths. Oh, gotcha. So that would be redundant. That would be ridiculous. Yes. I gotcha. Okay. Sorry, I'm a little slow. I'm coming down with a cold.
Me too.
But I have a chicken. I have a homemade chicken noodle soup in the slow cooker. I'm enjoying slowly, trying to not.
Good, because only that first layer is cooked. The rest slowly cooked.
So I don't get a bad cold.
So this week we had the amazing experience to go to...
You guys get shepherd's pie for dinner.
Yay! Disney's Hollywood Studios yesterday, but the amazing part...
What was the amazing part? Sorry, I'm blasting the microphone. What was the amazing part?
We got to go to Mama Melrose for dinner.
So that was this said place where you were...
I know, but it seems appropriate.
So this was the said place where that incident occurred?
Earlier when we were talking about all the various songs.
This was the incident?
Mama Melrose. What an eclectic mix of songs.
It's where mealtime meets chow time.
Which got us thinking.
Oh, I got it. Chow is in
food.
Yes.
Chow is one of those words that means both hello and goodbye.
Yes.
Like aloha or shalom. English needs a word like this.
It does now. It has one now.
So Fanboy and I decided on our own, because if we had help, they probably would have talked us out of it, that we are here to inaugurate a simple word to have that same purpose in English. And the word we have chosen is hey.
But the thing is, I've already told you that people have been doing this for a while now.
But I got to say, as part of the deal for me to adopt this, Doobie agreed to call Epcot henceforth
the experiment. So a little quid pro quo, touche, tit for tat, scratching back kind of thing going on.
And I have a stupid lingo thing to be named later.
Yes, that's a part of the deal. Assuming the commissioner approves it.
All right, so.
So, Mama Melrose was yummy.
All right.
I thought. Rebecca, not so much.
It was okay.
What did you think?
It was yummy, but not. I mean, I haven't been to Mama Melrose. For some reason, I can never get into Mama Melrose. I've not been to Mama Melrose in probably about 10 years. So, I was expecting something more. It wasn't bad, but I'd probably go to Brown Derby or.
I'd go to Olive Garden
before. I don't know about 50s prime time because I don't like being yelled at.
What about Olive Garden?
Olive Garden?
Because it's Italian.
When I'm there, but when I'm there, I'm family, and that's just totally
no. But
different.
I mean, I'm just thinking comparing Italian food to Italian food. How did you compare
or
this
stuff
type
that pretends
I
to
see,
be
I
Italian
can't,
food? As in the
I can't
of Olive
compare. I mean, because honestly, I'm not a picky eater,
yeah,
so
that's
it's
true,
part
yeah.
of the experience. Like, I love going to Olive Garden. All you can eat salad and breadsticks and soup. If you order it right and they don't realize that you switch. But they, but you, I mean, I expect something completely different from a Disney theme park. I mean, Olive Garden's really good, and I've got to show props for Darden,
see,
our
I
local
think
Central
that's,
Florida
that's my thing,
conglomerate.
I found my food bland. It wasn't very good.
I found your food bland, too, but I found my food pretty good.
It was bland.
I would say my soup was better than Olive Garden, my pizza
and our
was
service was
better.
Horrific.
Our service was bad. I really liked the lady, so I'm going to say she was having a difficult time.
Yeah,
because
no,
of another
I would agree.
Table.
I think the table behind us was really, really running or ragged and was very hard to handle. Because that's
bad.
The way it
and they
to
sent
us.
Over some help, too, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad service.
But our service was not good.
But in the past, we've had pretty good service there, so.
Yes, we have.
I would like to call that an aberration.
Well, it's hit or miss.
All right, I'm going to say something very
Why
random.
Why does that place book so much?
Because it's tiny.
It's
you
small.
Commented on that while we were sitting there. You said, wow, this place is small.
Yes, it's small.
Did you not?
I did.
So therefore you answered your own question.
Yes, that was for the listeners. By answering a question we all know the answer to, asking a question that we all know the answer to, and then they can you can respond, and then we all know where it's going. Like this whole podcast, we all know what we're going to say. It's no surprises.
Can you believe we wrote this whole conversation in the script?
I know.
Including what I just said, and what I just said, and what I...
Dude, I feel like we're, that's
speaking of scripts, you know I love you guys, but
really?
I thought it was very hilarious when I went to laughingplace.com.
Yeah, this
and
is
I clicked on the LP lotion, because we really cover you, on The Simpsons, and I'm like, oh, that's neat. And part of me is like, sometimes wonders, okay, do they use Doobie's pictures? They use Rebecca's pictures? They use both pictures? Just because I know you guys, I'm interested. You know, I just find it interesting. And then I found out neither, that all images were copyright Disney.
Oops.
Minor mistake there.
Somebody cut and
paste.
A
little copy and paste issue.
Yeah,
I didn't quite
cut
correct
and paste right. from
My
the
bad.
Previous article.
My bad. You want
to
say something,
he
Captain?
Went to action.
Well, I was just going to – I'm going to declare something very random, that as – I'm going to say that by the end of next year, I'm going to just declare this, that Aerosmith will be kicked out of Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Uh-oh.
And Pirates of the Caribbean will be featured in a Fantasmic.
So this is like It'll a mid-year
Yeah, I'm just
going to
say
go
it
wrong.
Right now. I've been kind of brainstorming this.
Wow.
I'm just going to say by the end of – it'll either be announced or in place.
I agree with you on the Rockin' Roller Coaster because I think the new band is going to be all in their underwear because of the new Hanes sponsorship. And then they'll go, I'm wearing your underwear.
Let me define a nightmare for you in particular, fanboy. Bubble sequence Ooh. Meets Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow. It's a long,
oh,
long.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No, I think they would actually have to redo the Fantasmic dining package. You would go in, see the first part, leave, have dinner, go back, and see the conclusion.
See, I was more thinking that Pocahontas would get kicked out in place of Pirates of the Caribbean.
That would actually be cool.
Oh, that would be sweet.
And the same thing with California. I guess they would kick out Peter Pan.
I
wouldn't necessarily.
You better be watching yourself on that.
I'm not saying that.
The island's there already.
I'm just going to say that if That's they were to change it here, they would do the same thing in California. Not necessarily for the better. Here for the better, I would say.
Well,
not necessarily for
you could.
Better than California.
You could, as far as fanboys concerned.
There's a lot of room for improvement. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad show here, but it's far superior in California.
I disagree.
California doesn't have the bubble sequence. Come on. Like, that's like 3 hours added to the show.
If I go through the show, it's more comfortable in Florida. I prefer the Pocahontas sequence. I like the Jafar sequence. I miss the...
Look out!
And look out. I hate the bubble sequence, but... Okay, fine. California is better, but I'm not one of those that says California is up here as I hold my hand above the microphone, and Florida's down here as I hold my hand below the microphone. I think they're fairly close with a slight edge to California.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Okay.
All right.
Podcast at lifeandplace.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message in the Life and Place.
And submit, you know, your ideas for what I just said. Or relating to what Doobie says. What do you think of Fantasmic in both parks? What do you think? What would you change to Fantasmic?
It's going to be a rough week, actually.
And I'm curious if you think... That's one I'd really like to know, because obviously it's got characters already. Do you think adding pirates to one or both Fantasmic would be a good idea?
It's already got pirates,
and what band would you like to see replace Aerosmith?
I know which band I'd like. The Jonas Brothers. You already have the trash can.
Do you want me to go in deeper what I thought would happen to Rock
They're
and Roller Coaster?
I was thinking the Carpenters.
Black Sabbath? I was thinking, because with Universal, they're building their coaster, and where you get to pick your music.
I was thinking
it's going to be like that. You could pick from your Disney Channel stars, or for Mom and Dad, pick your whoever else they would pick at the time.
Team with a cell phone service, make it through your mobile phone where you choose your stuff, like they are doing with Radio Disney, where you choose your playlist.
I think that's what will happen to
Mike
Coaster.
Wazowski. Mike Wazowski.
What's the average number of text messages you think Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor receives in a day?
Well, I don't know, because I was with somebody who texted in and they didn't get their joke said, so I guess...
Hey, I was with somebody who did.
A funny joke?
What?
Was it a funny joke?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. I just know that they sent it.
I would guess a couple hundred.
Did it start with... Never mind.
I would guess a couple hundred. Do you have any guesses?
Nope.
Well, I mean, there must be enough where they don't pick everybody, so...
Well, but sometimes they may not even do it at all.
They might be lazy. You don't know what they're
doing. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Are we done this time?
Yes.
Yes, we're done.
You sure? I mean, I don't mind. I just don't.
I think we're done. Yeah.
Wait, you said you had... Oh, yeah, pick your own music. Okay, podcast.lifeandplace.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message on the Life and Place.com discussion boards. And until next week, hey...